1, 2, 3. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Creative City Show with me, your host, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome to Friday. You made it. Congratulate yourselves. Pat yourself on the back. Do whatever you do to celebrate that it's Friday. I'm actually not sure if I'm celebrating because I feel like today should be Wednesday. I need two more days to my work week to catch up on. I know John shaking his head going, what the heck is this guy talking about? Always happy it's Friday. No, I'm happy it's Friday. I just could use two more work week days to get some things done. This week just absolutely flew by. But if you're tuning in, welcome to our last show of the week. We air live every day now, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. And I'm looking forward to the show we have for you today. It's our Connecting the Dots end of the week wrap-up show. And I want you to get those phones out. Get those fingers warmed up. Hopefully they're wrapped around a cup of coffee. Hopefully they're warm and ready to go. 790-2040. It's our Why I Love Where I Live live line, our special Tuesday and Friday live lines. We're connecting the dots on some things, and we try to make sense of the week that was. Important local, regional, national news, trends, news stories, things that happen that are important to talk about, and we do it in a way that engages everybody here in studio. It's just you and me today, Tucson, here on the air. I want to talk about the Facebook and Twitter war. And what I mean by that is, what is the role of political advertising on these social media platforms? Facebook had a position about it. Twitter just banned political advertising in the year 2020, beginning in just a couple of weeks here in November. We'll talk about that and get your views. What is the role of political advertising on social media platforms? And then I want to keep you on the phone, and I want to see how many of us from either side of the aisle agree with former President Barack Obama's views on woke culture. He had an interesting clip that's been circulating the interwebs that I want to play it, and I want to see what your thoughts are and if you agree with it or not. I think it's an interesting statement on our social media and political and activism culture in the U.S. today. So we'll cover that. Doug Ducey announced this week that manufacturing jobs now outnumber construction jobs, and he gave a number, and it made me think about a conversation that I'm going to have with UA, University of Arizona. I only have to say U Arizona in print, evidently, but the University of Arizona. Economist George Hammond will be in studio with me next week to talk about Southern Arizona economic numbers. The MAP dashboard just updated, with numbers that actually I think are getting worse economically for Tucson, for Southern Arizona here. And so when we talk about job growth, we talk about manufacturing versus construction, I still got that question mark in my mind and my gut hunch that that's mostly north of the Gila, not quite yet south of the Gila here in Southern Arizona. And so want to cover all of that here on the air, just you and I together. And then give us a call, 790-2040. What isn't going to be brought up today that you think should? What is the news story that should be? And of course, the obvious one is the continued exploration in the House of Representatives of impeachment. I actually watched that yesterday on C-SPAN coming into the radio show, and it was just interesting to hear some of the callers into C-SPAN from around the country talk about the move to explore impeachment against President Donald Trump. So that's an obvious one that I'm not going to get into too heavy today, but if you want to call in and talk about it, 790-2040 is your live line opportunity. So let's get into it in the couple minutes that we have here. So I want to talk about the Facebook and Twitter war this week. And I'm just saying war because it's more of a friendly or argument. but within the last couple of weeks, Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, was called into a congressional hearing. And one of the elements that came out of that hearing is that CEO Mark Zuckerberg's view on political ads is a view of free, unhindered speech. He gave a talk at Georgetown University after his congressional hearing. And one of the surprising things is that Facebook has taken a completely hands-off approach, for the most part, to political advertising, where they will say, you know, look, we're not going to correct even incorrect Facebook advertising. We believe that Facebook and the way that we do political advertising gives people the opportunity, even those who are unknown, the opportunity to become known. And this started out altruistically, but I think that Facebook gives people who normally wouldn't have a platform a platform. On the back end of that, Facebook has said, look, we are not going to fact check political advertising on the whole. Now, Facebook has taken some license to, I think, censor some things, not censure, but censor some things recently. But their policy regarding political advertising is to let it play out in the public square so far. And that's just his view. Zuckerberg said that the company estimates ads from politicians will be less than 0.5% of its revenue next year. He says, this is not about money for me. I just think that we need to let things play out in the public square. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey came out on his Twitter profile and said, hey, look, we are going to ban all political advertising. We're just not going to even let it happen for the next year on Twitter. Nobody of any rank and file, nobody of any level, newbie, oldie, nobody is going to get to be able to do political advertising on Twitter because of just kind of the what Twitter views to be just toxic, incorrect, and what I think most people agree to be manipulation by both foreign and domestic parties using social media to put together advertising that has made for, I think, a lot of negative things. My sense has been, let me know if you think I'm on or off on this, 790-2040. Of course, regardless of any of the collusion conversation, I'm saying that completely to the side. I think most people agree that social media especially was manipulated in 2016 to put out incorrect, incomplete, and manipulative media to try and manipulate the election one way or another. And I think that fear, and it's, I think, a grounded fear, has not changed. Twitter, Facebook, mostly Twitter and Facebook, I don't think much of Instagram, has gotten to a place where it's getting really hard to figure out what is true and what isn't, and it's being manipulated to do so. So Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, have been going back and forth. And I'm just curious to get your feedback. What route would you go? Would you be hands-off, political advertising is what's going to be, we're not going to censor it, it's just going to play out in the public square? Or would you take a Jack Dorsey approach and say, look, we're just going to cut it all off and make that company decision from the top? Well, we're going to go to our first quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your calls. I also want to talk about, in the next segment, we're going to get to Obama's statement at a recent event on woke culture. And I think a lot of our listeners on both sides of the aisle will have something to agree with on this. If you just called in, hang in there. We're going to go to our first break and then come back and take your calls and get into woke culture. What is wrong with our woke and political activism culture today? Barack Obama has an opinion, former president of the United States. Do you share in that opinion? I think it'll be an interesting segment. We'll be right back.
Tucson station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you're among the 40% of Americans ages 50 and older who are still not getting tested for colorectal cancer, you're out of excuses. Under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will now require nearly all private insurance companies to cover virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive tests. More importantly, these tests would be covered with no copay. That means there are now a number of fully covered colorectal cancer screening exams available. Please talk to your doctor to see which of these tests are right for you. Don't be one of the thousands of Americans to die from a largely preventable disease that is nearly always treatable if found early. The best test is the one that you choose to use. There have never been more fully covered options to fit your lifestyle and your schedule. Take action. Get screened for colorectal cancer. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, please visit radiologyinfo.org.
Sometimes what looks like help really isn't help at all. Putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm or a wounded heart doesn't work. Neither does putting a Band-Aid on homelessness. Hi, I'm Pastor Roy Tallgren, Executive Director of Gospel Rescue Mission. Oftentimes we put Band-Aids on our problems. We think we're helping, but in reality the solution goes much deeper. At Gospel Rescue Mission, we know that a meal, clean clothes, and a warm bed is not enough to cure the root of homelessness. That's why we provide long-term residential recovery programs. Gospel Rescue Mission gives men and women the necessary tools that they need to get back up on their feet, out of homelessness, and become contributing members of our community. Through addiction recovery and relapse prevention training, Christian discipleship classes, life skills instruction, academic education, computer literacy, career development, and counseling, broken lives are being healed. Thank you for supporting Gospel Rescue Mission, because the cure for homelessness takes more than just a Band-Aid.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview is with Humane Borders founder Reverend Robin Hoover. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. It's Buckmaster during the noon hour on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back into the show. Our first show of November. It is November 1st today, Friday. Welcome back in. We are in the middle of our Connecting the Dots Friday show, making sense of the week that was, talking about the news, the stories, the trends that are relevant and critical as we head into the weekend. On Wednesday, CEO of Twitter Jack Dorsey announced that Twitter would no longer allow political advertising globally. That includes campaign ads from political candidates and issues-based ads on topics like climate change or abortion. The move came just weeks after Facebook said it would not block false political advertising, arguing that it would violate its mission to promote free speech, even paid free speech. Zuckerberg believed that it's not, quote, right for private companies to censor politicians and the news. That was my first story, and I asked, what would you do? Would you go the Mark Zuckerberg route, or would you go the Jack Dorsey route? Carl called in the line, our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040, with his point of view. Carl, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, you know, this thing about social media, directing politics or being involved in politics, it's always been that way. You go back and you look at the newspapers, you look at yellow journalism, you look at the radios, you look at television, look at the Arizona Daily Star. Like it or not, I mean, they basically support the Democratic Party because those are the only ones that they seem to endorse. So all of the media has been involved in politics one way or the other. And a lot of it, especially if you go back to the yellow journalism, they told lies all the time. With the stuff. I mean, let's face it, that's how the Spanish-American War got started. But I don't see what the big deal is about this. I mean, if you're too stupid to be able to do the research yourself, then you shouldn't be voting.
Carl, do you think that things like, I forget the term, you just made me think of it, there's been those videos of how people can make politicians say something they never said digitally. They can manipulate faces and words. And I saw a video yesterday of a robot attacking somebody, and it was completely fake. Do you think we're in a new era where this is just exponential, or do you feel like it's the same as it always has been in the media?
I think it's always the same, perhaps ratcheted up with the technology, but take a look at the Stalin with the May Day parades. As people fell out of favor, they got erased from the same photograph over and over and over again.
Carl, I appreciate your perspective. I didn't think about it, so thank you.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
Yeah, great stuff by Carl. In fact, Carl, if you're listening, as you were talking, I had other listeners text in and go, Carl is on point. So thank you, sir, for calling. I don't know how I feel yet. I don't want to divorce this from history, which is why I thought Carl had a really interesting point. But I still think it's troubling how manipulatable our media is. I forgot to ask Carl if he would go Mark Zuckerberg's route or Jack Dorsey. I'm getting the feeling that would have been Mark Zuckerberg. This isn't something that has to be censored or changed. It's always the way media has been. Do the research on your own and figure it out. My challenge is I'm going to actually bring it up with the next clip, is it's getting hard to find out what the sources are that are speaking truth into issues. Where do you go now to find what is true and what isn't? Those places are shrinking. Carl's got me thinking. I want to go to this video here. Our time is just moving so quickly. Barack Obama takes on woke call-out culture. That's not activism. It's a clip that's been going pretty viral this week. I wanted to play it, and I wanted to get your reactions to it. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What do you agree or disagree with? It's about a 2-minute clip, but hang in there. It's an interesting one. Let's go ahead and play it.
You know, this idea of purity, and you're never compromised, and you're always politically woke and all that stuff, you should get over that quickly. The world is messy. There are ambiguities. Yeah. People who do really good stuff have flaws. People who you are fighting may love their kids. And, you know, share certain things with you. And I think that one danger I see among young people, particularly on college campuses, Malia and I talk about this. Yara goes to school with my daughter. But I do get a sense sometimes now among certain young people, and this is accelerated by social media, there is this sense sometimes of the way of me making change is to be as judgmental as possible about other people. And that's enough. Like if I tweet or hashtag about how you didn't do something right or used the word wrong verb, or then I can sit back and feel pretty good about myself, because man, you see how woke I was, I called you out. I'm gonna get on TV, watch my show, watch Grownish. That's not activism. That's not bringing about change. You know, if all you're doing is casting stones, you're probably not going to get that far. That's easy to do.
We have about 4 minutes left to this segment, but I'll keep our Why I Love Where I Live phone lines open through the next segment, because I want to get your thoughts on this. My hunch is that there is a lot of people who may not have liked his policies, may not have voted for him, may not be a Barack Obama guy or girl, but would agree with what he just said there. I know I'm there with him, and I'm there because I just I mean, the word he didn't say is cancel culture. You've heard maybe cancel culture, where something is said, you know, you don't like it, you cancel it, right? It just it's you get one shot, and if you screw it up, you're gone. Or outrage culture, or woke culture, or there's all these cultures, and it's a culture of throwing stones. It's an activism of throwing stones and of judgment. And I certainly have felt like that has been the case here in Tucson with some certain issues. And it's been discouraging to see a lot of good ideas and well-intended people on multiple sides of issues start to lose the higher ground by this woke culture of activism that just doesn't get things done. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. 790-2040 is your Why I Love Where I Live live line opportunity to jump on in. Do you agree with the former president? Do you think he has a point? Do you see our culture and our discussion and our national conversation fitting into something that he is calling out or talking about? I think it hit me at the right time because I've been really discouraged by what I see in the national or in the local conversation about certain issues. And this is not me picking one side or the other, but I've certainly seen it with Proposition 205, particularly this year, where there are some policy related conversations and policy-oriented issues with the proposition. I'm just giving you an example of when I say what I'm seeing in Tucson, I want to give an example where there have been rocks cast and judgment cast about why there are questions about the proposition or why there is opposition to it that have nothing to do with the policy about it, but it's all completely personal and identity culture and woke culture. Again, when I say it goes both ways, I mean that that everybody is susceptible to this, but just been really bothered by the local conversation, the local communication, the local narrative, and the national one is we don't have a real people-oriented conversation. We don't have serious policy-oriented conversation anymore. It's all surface. It's all identity. It's all casting stones. It's all judgment as activism. And I don't think it's helpful, and I don't think it's effective. And I gotta agree with the former president on this one. I'm running out of time before our bottom of the hour news, but I'm going to keep the phone lines open for this. 520-790-2040. Give us a call on the live line. What do you think? Agree, disagree with me? Agree or disagree with the former president's clip there? I'm curious to see what you think. And when we come back, I want to talk about economics in Tucson, both Governor Ducey's announcement about jobs this week and how it reflects the numbers we're seeing here in Tucson about our own job growth. There's a mismatch, and I want to talk about it. We'll be right back after the break. Tucson, welcome back in here at the bottom of the hour, halfway through our last show of the week, but our first show of November. Welcome to November 1st. If you're listening, join in our conversation. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to jump on in. We are talking about news and trends and issues that popped up during the week, making sense of the week that was. We've talked about Facebook and Twitter going after each other. Facebook got heat recently for saying that it is not going to ban Facebook ads that are blatantly incorrect, believing in free speech and that it should just play out in the public square. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, said they're going to ban all political ads going into 2020. So two very different approaches from two social media platforms. And my question was, in light of the last few years, in light of what we see on social media today, which path would you take? Are you on the Jack Dorsey side? Are you on the Mark Zuckerberg Facebook side of the issue? Which one would you do? Then we talked about Barack Obama's now viral clip this week at his Obama Foundation Summit, where he talked about woke culture. The activist culture of casting stones and judgment without really getting in the weeds and getting things done, and how just the negative local, national, state conversations don't really do much good. I was curious to see if you agreed or disagreed with that. As we move through the hour, I wanted to also talk about a statement that Governor Doug Ducey made here this week about a boom in manufacturing in Arizona. And I wanted to pivot that to talking about Southern Arizona's economic numbers. And the good news is that next week, George Hammond, economics professor from the University of Arizona, does a couple of lunches and breakfasts every year to kind of do an outlook on Southern Arizona economics. We'll be in to discuss some of these new numbers, but they're not looking good. In fact, most of the economic numbers for Tucson and Southern Arizona actually went down from a previous year, not the other way, even slightly, which is a little bit discouraging. But here was the statement that Governor Doug Ducey made. First of all, he made two of them. One that I want to emphasize on, and one that was just interesting along the way. He said that the manufacturing jobs in Arizona today number about 179,000, about 180 almost thousand jobs, and 174,000 construction jobs, which is a new trend, and he believes it to be a lot of it is the economy, quote, and a lot of it is opportunity. But now manufacturing jobs outweigh construction jobs. He did mention another number that I thought was interesting. I haven't heard this one before. Here in Arizona, quote, 65% of the jobs available could be filled with a career or technical education degree or certificate. I'll say that again. In Arizona, 65% of the jobs available could be filled with a career or technical education degree or certificate. So I thought that was interesting. One of the question marks in my head, and I'll just throw this out there, this is not where I was going to land, but it popped in my head, so I'll say it, is I'm still not sure what the future of manufacturing looks like in the U.S. And that has shifted for me, you know, throughout the years. My sense has been that the economy is going to shift away from manufacturing being a heavy jobs driver. I think automation, even though it gets blown out of proportion sometimes, I think the changing way of work is, I think to me, if there's a dominant emphasis on manufacturing, I think we've seen some of the challenges in the Rust Belt and the Midwest of having a manufacturing dominant economy. So it needs to be diversified beyond that, but I'm also willing to be wrong on the issue, to be honest, because you know, I think over the last two or three years we've seen a boom in manufacturing that many thought could be possible, and certainly that has been a focus of this administration, the Trump administration. So I mean, I'm willing to be wrong on the issue, but I'm still a little skittish about a manufacturing heavy economy. But I was looking at those numbers. I'm going to speak more broadly. I was looking at those job numbers and the growth numbers and the boom in manufacturing in Arizona. And I was comparing that to the Tucson Metropolitan Statistical Area Economy Scorecard that the MAP dashboard just updated, the MAP AZ dashboard. It's a project of some local community organizations and the University of Arizona. And the business growth from 2017 to 2018, so these are updated numbers, was 0.0%. That was a change. That's actually down from what it was the year before. I'll try to explain it so it makes sense over radio, because I'm looking at it. I'll try to explain what it looks like. But there's basically four icons that the MapAZ dashboard attaches to each of these metrics. They've got a big sunny sunshine, they've got sort of cloudy, they've got mostly cloudy, and they've got thunderstorms, right? Just the picture of you go from great to not great at all. And in comparison to other metro areas around our region, they count, I think, 12 of them in the northwest and southwest here. We're dead last. I mean, that is ranked last. It's a downgrade for us. It ranks us last in the region. Our business growth was 0%. Now, that could be, and I'm going to ask George Hammond this, that could be that we are underemployed in the sense that we have jobs, just not enough people to fill them. So in some regards, if there's not enough talent to fill the jobs needed, you're probably not going to create more jobs because you've got as many people as you can to do the jobs you already have. So I'm going to ask George Hammond about that from the University of Arizona next week. Employment growth is 1.2% from 2017 to 2018. That's ranked in the bottom third of our region, and that's also a downgrade from what it was in the previously studied year. Our housing affordability, 66.2% of our housing remains affordable, which actually ranks in the top third. Despite that, that was also a decrease. That was a downward recent change. Median household income is ranked in the bottom third, but it actually went up from the previous year. And real GDP was 2.9%. We're actually ranked in the middle third there, and that was a recent. That was a positive change. So if you just focus on, I think, business growth. And employment growth. It's pretty shocking. Not shocking in terms of surprising, but shocking in terms of frustrating how we are ranked there, especially compared to our region. And so for me, it's this disconnect, right? No new news here. But when Governor Ducey steps up to the mic and talks about job growth in Arizona, that's to me not really across the board job growth or employment growth or income growth that's really happening here in southern Arizona yet, the Tucson metro statistical area. I had felt like things were getting better, but the numbers don't show the growth that we that I think the momentum that we have in Tucson should be showing. We'll see when the 2018-2019 numbers come out. I was talking to a business owner yesterday, and he said, look, I love Tucson. I'm here. I grew up in Phoenix. I really want to be here. He said, when I told him about how many young professionals have left the city between 2009 and 2017, he goes, yeah, I actually lived that in my business. He says, I can't tell you how many younger people came in for the last time to my business and said, hey, we're moving away. You know, we're moving somewhere else. These are real stories of real people that behind these numbers. And I certainly hope that we can do some things in the coming years that will move that business growth and employment growth up instead of being down. Not just down for us, but being in the bottom third. And I think Tucson is still stuck in the conversation of, and I'm stuck with Tucson in this conversation, by the way, where we look at other cities around, other places around the country and say, we like the growth and the economic development they're having. We just don't want the other stuff to come with it, right? We don't want the lack of affordability. We don't want the soullessness. We don't want the wholesale change in 10 years. And I get it. I understand it. But at the same time, these numbers aren't sustainable on the other end. I was in Austin about a month ago, Austin is pretty soulless. I mean, you go there and it was a city that used to be like Tucson a few years ago, and they changed so quickly and so drastically in a 20-year period. You go there and it just kind of feels like anywhere USA. Kind of like Phoenix, kind of like LA, kind of like places that just, you know, that just don't, you know, exhibit a soul. But at the same time, the conversation in Tucson is, well, we're not going to change at all. We're not going to make the changes needed at all to get those numbers moving in the right direction. So I saw Governor Doug Ducey's statement about those numbers, and it got me thinking, and I wanted to share what was on my mind. What's on yours? We'll leave the phone lines open for our next and final segment. 520-790-2040. Is your Why I Love Where I Live live line today to give us a call and let us know what is on your mind as we close out the week. What are some stories, some news, some items that we should be talking about here? What shaped the news of the week? We got one more segment to go, and we'll see you in a minute. Tucson, welcome back to the show. We're back for our final segment of our final day of our week here on 1030 The Voice, the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. But it's the first day of November, and now that Halloween is past, we can start thinking about Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Emphasis on "and then." Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday, and I always feel jaded every year because November 1st, all the Halloween stuff comes down, all the Christmas stuff goes up, and come on, what about Thanksgiving? We have a whole big holiday to get through before Christmas. So do us all a favor and just breathe in a little bit of Thanksgiving before turning your attention over to Christmas. But again, I'm biased. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. Just something about family, both holidays, family and friends, and just celebrating the year. That's really special. You can smell it in the air. You can feel it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just there. So I wanted to... Before I finish up with a couple of news stories here, just again, I did this yesterday, but I have a big week on the show coming up next week that I want to make sure you can pencil in and listen in live and call in live. 790-2040 will be that number on November 4th. I've been talking Southern Arizona and Tucson economics. George Hammond, a professor and researcher from the University of Arizona, well-known name to many of us in the economics field here in Tucson, will be in on Monday to give us the expert opinion on the recent economic numbers that we've seen in Tucson. November the 5th, the full hour. I rarely do full hour interviews anymore, but there are a couple of situations I reserve to still do them. And Tuesday, November 5th is one of them. I have TUSD Superintendent Gabe Trujillo on the show on Tuesday, the full hour, top to bottom, to talk TUSD and education in Tucson. And it'll be a time to address thoughts, concerns, and questions. The thing I like about Dr. Gabe Trujillo is he goes into, in my mind, media events knowing that he's going to get an opportunity to address the hard questions. And my sense of him has been that he enjoys that. And so I enjoy having him on the air to have a critical look at the issues and not be afraid to get into the weeds. So I'm looking forward to that. And then November 6th, that's a Wednesday, the first half of our show will feature Fletcher McCusker, Businessman of the Year, recently named UA Venture Capital head, chair of the Rio Nuevo board. I mean, if there's something that is moving in Tucson, Fletcher seems to be a part of it. So 4th, 5th, and 6th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, some big days on the show as we talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. All right, let's get into it and wrap up the hour. Feel free to give us a call in, 520-790-2040. We have talked a lot of issues. We've talked Facebook versus Twitter. What's the role of political advertising on social media? Do you allow any and all, or do you ban everything and anything? Facebook and Twitter have taken two very different approaches. Which one do you favor? We talked Obama's statement on woke culture, judgment and casting stones in the public arena, and why it's not helpful. I personally agree that our national and state and local narrative has become less about policy and substantive debate and more about casting stones and judgment. And so that resonated with me. Does it resonate with you? We talked Tucson and Southern Arizona economics in the last segment. Two stories to run by you as we wrap up this hour. This came across my desk after we left the air last Friday. Millennials will become the richest generation in American history as baby boomers transfer over their wealth. So I thought this one was interesting. Because the young people I talk to are, and it's true, it's not really a, it's not a fable, they're living that life, are struggling longer and later to get their footing professionally, financially, family-wise. It's just all, it's happening, but it's happening later. Well, a new study shows that millennials will hold five times as much wealth as they have today, and the group is inherited to inherit over $68 trillion from their baby boomer parents by the year 2030. What's interesting about this is that it will represent one of the greatest wealth transfers in the modern times. Right, so the article, this is out of Forbes, goes on, post-boomer generations have had to wrestle with issues not encountered by their parents and grandparents. This is, again, not me, this is Forbes. Agree or disagree, 790-2040, give us a call in. Burdensome college debt that serves as a financial anchor, costly real estate, the high cost of insurance, and the challenge of procuring well-paying jobs have all been the anathema to millennials. These and other issues have made their lives more difficult than their parents' generation. Their fortunes will soon dramatically change for the better as they stand the chance to become one of the richest groups ever by this wealth transfer. And I've heard this in different corners of the community for a few years now, but it was interesting to see a national magazine highlight it about how baby boomer parents possess a massive amount of wealth that will, by 2030, transfer over to the millennial generation to a tune of $68 trillion. Now, what's funny is I got to apologize to the forgotten Gen Xers, those that are kind of between 40 and 55, 60 is once again, you know, you might be forgotten. This great entrepreneurial generation that got lost between the newsmakers of the baby boomers and the newsmakers of the millennials. They're called sometimes the lost generation, the forgotten generation, because they just got forgotten. So apologies to my Gen X friends and family about that $68 trillion that may or may not go right over your heads. I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek on that one. That was some of my Facebook conversation with friends was, and what about the Gen Xers? It's just always about, have you seen those memes on Facebook lately? I know I just jumped really fast, but they've got that the angry screaming person picture, and you got baby boomer, and then the screaming angry person and right back called millennial, and then you've got at the bottom, you've got I've seen various versions, you got the Gen Xer just quietly sipping wine or eating popcorn, and right, it's that generation in the middle, and again, 40 to, we'll say 40 to late 50s, that just doesn't get into the same the same arguments and cultural narrative as baby boomers and millennials. All right, last item here. Americans are flocking to these 10 cities where you can afford to buy a home on a $60,000 salary. Here is the list of that. Here is where Americans are moving to in terms of affordability. Here's the list. Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, Des Moines, Iowa, El Paso, Texas, Fort Myers, Florida, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, Texas. You can buy a home in San Antonio for $53,000 with a 10% down payment. The median home price is $232,000. So I think it was that four cities in Texas that were that are places where people are going for affordability and opportunity. So I thought that was interesting. Not why I pulled up the article, but just wanted to share. So those are kind of some of the boom towns where people are moving. Again, it's that secret sauce of opportunity without a lack of affordability. And I think the challenge we see in cities today, the way that we build cities, is that we create opportunity, but without it, without affordability. And we see people moving out of cities where, you know, yeah, you get paid a nice salary, but you can't do anything with it. In California, again, not to pick on California, is another great example where people move there for the opportunity, but they move out because of the lack of affordability. So that's our show. If you missed anything this week, go listen to one of our podcasts. There's some ways this weekend that you can continue to binge on the Creative City Show or get back to us with any comments or feedback. And let me tell you how to do that. You can go to kvoy.com/podcast if you want to stream on your computer. Or if you want to use an app or your phone, you can go to iTunes on the podcast app, or you can go to Google Play Music. Any of those three places will have, within a few hours of us airing the live show, the podcast version of it. If you missed anything, jumped into a conversation early, wanted to hear the rest but couldn't, go ahead and listen this weekend as you're cleaning, exercising, moving around. Would love if you took us with you this weekend. And then if, as you're listening to that, or you had something you wanted to share but maybe you didn't want to jump on the phone lines at 790-2040, you can go to thecreativecityshow@gmail.com, thecreativecityshow@gmail.com, and send me an email, send me a thought. Let me know what you're thinking about the program, what you'd like to see us talk about, if there's something relevant to Tucson that we haven't covered yet. Give us a shout. Let us know what you think. That's it for me on this Friday, November 1st. Thanks, Tucson, for listening. Thanks for calling. Doug, Jen, and Victoria coming up. The Bill Buckmaster Show is on at noon, our next local programming. So much for you to listen to here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Once again, don't forget, coming up next week, we start off with George Hammond, U of A economist. We continue to Gabe Trujillo, TUSD superintendent, Fletcher McCusker on Wednesday, and so much more. It's a full week for us here on the program. Until then, have a great weekend. Go enjoy that beautiful weather. Enjoy this time of year. You earned it, Tucson. Thanks. Have a great one. See you on Monday.